If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
All right, welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. I know we've been gone for 2 weeks, but me and Kenyon have been traveling and doing stand-up. We've been busy, but now we're back in the studio. We did record a live episode at the North Carolina Comedy Festival. How did you say that went, Kenyon?
We lit it up.
We did light it up. Our guest talked about shooting someone. It's a great episode, and if you want to watch it, it is on our brand new Patreon.
It's fucking happening, people.
It's starting right now.
Me and Nick are about to make $400 a year off this shit, Woo! So get on the train, dude.
Prove my dad wrong and go to www.patreon.com/fudad.
/getnickhealthcare. it's really /a GoFundMe for Nick getting healthcare.
I got to get these wisdom teeth out. Gang, they're fucking up my bite. But yeah, go check out that episode. And of course, if you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, that it would be fantastic. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being awesome. All of our listeners that have helped us get this far, it's because of you. So if you want to hop on that Patreon and become even better people, please do that. And this week, we got our good friend. He hosts a podcast on this very network. Everyone, do big smiles for Mr. Chris Higgins.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Chris, you do it's a fantasy book podcast, right? What is it called?
It's called the Fantasy Hotline Podcast. We just did our first season, and we're in the in-between right now. My co-host, Claire, just moved to New York City.
That's a little bit of a setback.
We'll see. We're in a major we'll see moment right now. We had a good time reading. We were recording with Christine, who rules. We had a good time here.
Christine does rule.
Does rule. This podcast is brought to you by Christine. it was a good time, but right now I'm kind of given Claire some space to get settled in New York before I'm like, hey, what about our podcast?
Yeah.
What does commitment mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, it was a fun time. I read fantasy novels all the time.
What did you get to do? What did you guys do on the podcast?
It was basically like, I feel like I read all these fantasy novels and I've never have anybody to talk to them about. And I felt like I was like, probably not the only person who doesn't have someone to talk.
Yeah. Just so, like a nerd.
Yeah.
And you're alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
As nerds are. I just felt like I was into all this lame shit and Kenny, I had nothing to say to him.
Kenny was like, wait a second. Like, no, you're a nerd and you should be alone, right? That's what nerds do. That's part of nerd.
Natural environment.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just like get people to get the chance to hear about takes on their books without annoying.
It's an untapped market for sure.
Yeah.
And it's
and it remains untapped. We did not do much tapping. Yeah. We tried.
We didn't get the drill out.
We'll persist, hopefully. Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I know because you're a stand-up comedian. We all hang out with stand-up comedians all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you're trying to talk about other things that aren't stand-up with stand-up comedians because everyone's just trying to get like a bit in.
Yeah.
Especially with something like fantasy novels where it requires them to kind of like, use their imagination a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I talk to Kenyon about anything.
What?
I get kickback when I try to share my interests or my, I'm like, hey, maybe check out this clip from this show, and you're like, hey, it's pretty stupid.
I thought it was a good friend. You're telling me I shit on you every time you say something?
I'm just saying sometimes I'm nervous to show you my more artistic side.
This is making me feel bad about myself as a person.
You just told him he should be alone.
I know, it's bad.
Because he likes fantasy novels.
I was bullied as a kid. I take it out on others. But that's a
pretty good Kenyan you got, too. It's not a bad Kenyan impression.
Dude, he just mumbled English.
Oh, that's stupid. Yeah. That's not what he sounds like at all, but it was still good.
It captured the essence for sure.
Angry mumbling is what I get. I don't know what other people are like. That's a terrible Kenyan, but that's what I get on all the time. Should be making a TikTok for the podcast.
should be working hard.
Yeah.
You fucking nerd.
It sounds like he just crumpled up a whole pack of cigarettes and threw them to the ground. So, Chris, where did you grow up?
Boulder, Colorado, for the most part.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, moved there when I was 5 years old.
From
Kathmandu, Nepal.
Goddamn baby. Right. That is wild. What?
Yeah, yeah. So I spent the first couple of years of my life there. My dad was working for the U.S. Embassy as a dentist.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, an oral surgeon in a medical clinic, like helping them with their overall dental health care system there and training local dentists and doing the procedures on bigwigs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The president of Nepal and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I don't really know.
You got to look at those chompers?
Yeah, yeah, I think some pretty cool people he got to do dentistry on. Some cool stories about him going on a mission for the Nepalese government, U.S. science to go take a casting of a rhino's tooth.
And then he had a kid and moved to Boulder.
Yeah, he had a kid and was like, I'm probably going to stick him in kindergarten in a normal school.
Yeah, not.
And I think Nepal was getting a little more unstable.
Oh, okay.
As far as the political stuff, the Chinese just love to meddle with their neighbors for sure.
We're trying to make it, so you be quiet about it. You shut up about our new overlord.
We're trying
to say President Zing does what he needs to. Never mind.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh rules. love that guy. That can get you in big trouble in China. Apparently
he banned the Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, he's got a very, very sore spot because he kind of looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Can you imagine running a billion people? You're in charge of that? Someone shows you Winnie the Pooh and you lose your shit.
I'd be pissed all the time if I was running a million people.
Yeah, a billion. Yeah. Yeah, my God. You're just mad.
But I relate to that. I'm so insecure. If I became the leader of a huge nation and they started making fun of me by posting pictures of Waluigi, I would ban fucking Waluigi. Be like, he's not in games anymore. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
We found out you guys are dictators without any power.
It's crazy how having a kid will totally change your. I mean, he still practice dentistry in Boulder.
Yeah, yeah, he's
different clientele.
I'm assuming. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Calm down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. He still has a practice there in Boulder, but he's leaning towards retiring for sure.
Okay.
I think that the last year and a half have taken
a bit of a toll
on him as far as just having to deal with all these new people who are suddenly experts in medicine and stuff like that. And while he is a humbled dentist, I think he does know a little more about keeping people safe. And some people are just going off the wall,
My dad is the same way. He studied infectious disease and he has a doctorate in that and stuff. So he is I just got done visiting them. He got into several tirades about the unvaccinated people, how they all need to be lined up and shot.
Oh, yeah.
So I love how you're quotations murdered. And you're all right.
He's one of those where he's all the way on the other end. And it's all a snake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Did you enjoy growing up in Boulder? Or were you kind of you were.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I got to, my dad just dragged me on all sorts of going mountain biking and backpacking and kayaking and stuff like that. And
I'm envious.
I mean, you still have that Boulder look to
you. Yeah.
It just feels like when you get lost in the woods, you're my guy.
Yeah.
You were from there.
I mean, I definitely had those moments of when he would take me on some bike trip through a hailstorm. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah,
get me home right now.
To be a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I'm what the hell is this going to do for me now? I really don't want to fucking be here there's the name of your podcast fuck you dad I don't want to kayak down this recently flooded river in Idaho. The trees are falling everywhere.
These are getting more and more intense. You love going outside in Boulder and you're like, fuck you dad, I want to fight a bear on my way
we did some trips. I remember we did a trip in Idaho kayak, a self-support kayak trip, just where you put your all your camping gear in the ends of your kayak and you just run a river and then pull over to the side and camp on the side of the
homelessness
river.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
just and pure survival.
Navy
SEALs survival.
Yeah, did that for 10 days.
Oh my
god, a bunch. Did
that'll
that
prepare you for comedy because at some point we'll all need to do that.
Yeah I have thought about that. I've been if just everything I'm pretty prepared for homelessness.
I don't live in your tent. Your tent is gonna be the Lakeview of homelessness. Mm-hmm. Or it's an exclusive neighbor.
I got a tent, I got a really nice freaking air mattress.
Yeah.
going on in there. It's like lightweight backpacking air mattress that blows up to be like that thick. It's pretty great. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID happened. You're like, it's nice. I know what to do.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine having that much alone time with my dad.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, he definitely.
You guys probably got to know each other. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's like definitely one of my best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That's what happens when that works out.
Yeah.
What would it's like when someone says their wife's their best friend. You're like, oh, that's possible.
Well.
you can, a love is there. Well,
it's similar.
Cool.
Yeah. It's family stuff.
You're like, interesting.
Yeah. Like, Kenyon, if you were alone with your dad in the woods for 10 days, what would happen?
Oh my God! We'd both be dead. But my dad was
murder Suey on one side. Suey. Someone would murder Suey the other.
But my dad was literally homeless for a period of time. So he literally, but he buried his cell phone because he thought it was like my grandparents were paying for his cell phone. He thought they were like using it to track him.
Okay,
yeah. So he buried the phone. And he said he did sleep on his jacket in the woods. So he was experienced. That would be his domain.
Yeah.
It would be like his summer home.
That sounds so a lot less luxurious than what Chris did.
Chris has got the tent. Yeah. See, my dad's from the streets of camping. You got the fancy tent. You got the.
I got a tent and an REI membership going for me.
Yeah, my dad's got ambition to not go back to Holly Springs Mental Hospital. Yeah. So he's going to go sleep on these woods.
Yeah.
The funny thing to me, I picture him burying his phone, but then sleeping like right on top of it, like they're trying to track me.
I got
to
keep track of this phone.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose it.
It's a Motorola. I'm gonna be honest. A little nice.
I'm not buying another. They're just doing another Kenyon impression.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in a weird spot right now because I got into a car accident back in North Carolina.
That's right.
I borrowed his car, which was my grandmother brought him a $20,000 Prius to deliver Uber Eats in. So whole network. You literally just sell the car.
Yeah.
You know, you drive a $20,000 car to make $4. It makes no sense. But he let me borrow the car. And then I stopped at a red light, and the person behind me, that was not their truth. They just rammed into me.
That was not their truth. Hey, listen, they were living their truth.
Yeah. They did not see a red light.
I rear-ended you. You're living your truth.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They saw endless possibilities.
That was not your truth. Dang, that's funny.
Yeah. And they rammed into me pretty hard, totaled their car. They're all right. We were all right. But it ended up being where my dad's car was totaled.
Yeah.
And then I was on the phone with them. And I was like, so what are they going to do? They're like, they're going to give me the worth of the car. They're going to be $21,000. And I literally said, like, will I ever see you again? And he laughed. Because this man.
I ever see you again?
Because basically what happened was everything that your grandma was trying to avoid happened.
Yeah. Because
your grandma was like, I want to buy him the car, but I don't want to just give him that money.
And now he has the money.
Oh,
and this is a man who's tried to drive a car to Canada to illegally immigrate to work at an anarchist bookstore. This man has 21K for whatever
God.
He wants. So,
when did this happen?
I think any day now it's coming.
I found out today that I'm getting $900 from Instacart.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I used to work for Instacart, and they hit me up, and they're like, hey, we owe you $928. And I was like, I'm opening up a sports book. Like, let's go.
Yeah, things are trending.
How do you gamble again? All in on the Broncos winning the Super Bowl this
year.
That's
like finding a 20 in your pocket, but times like a gajillion.
It made my month.
You're a millionaire.
Month. That might be the end of the year. Yeah, shit's good.
$900? I'm good.
Q4
I'm set
for Chris
life.
Is good.
Yeah,
so.
I live pretty close to the... I don't do much.
Yeah, no.
People are like, do you have a day job? I'm like, no, but I don't really spend all that much money. Like, there are days where I'm like $0. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you can survive with a boat and a bag and a saltine cracker. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, imagine 21K, Chris.
Yeah.
And then imagine you're a lot more close to the edge. Because I'm just waiting like a fan on the sidelines. I'm just seeing what's next.
Go, Dad.
I don't even know. He's going to be like, I just imagine like I'm on a car, like a flight to New Zealand to live in a commune. And I'll be like, all right.
I think he's going to start a more successful podcast than this.
We get this man an Alex
you,
Jones
son.
Mic. Yeah. Just takes us down.
It just releases. It's just responses to every podcast.
Every
like, first off, they weren't following me. First off, they were.
I was being followed.
That's how I respond.
Oh, I can see him also just trying to... like in the future being like, oh, this is how you make money. You buy cars and you get rear-ended. So he just starts sitting at red lights just being like, fucking hit me.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I want my cut. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wealth transfer. I just gave you more money than you've had probably in your entire life.
That's true. So,
like, you did a little bit. You were the one who got rear-ended.
Yeah, I was in. Yeah. I was the fall guy.
You did. You're like an agent. 10%.
At least
$2,100 to Kenyon.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
So, and when did you start realizing, Chris, that you wanted to be a comedian? Was that in high school, Chris,
or middle school? Young, I think. So my dad is a big comedy fan.
Oh yeah, yeah, mine too.
Like, actually, loves comedy, and for his 50th birthday, he took us to Edinburgh to go see the Fringe Festival.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a really cool place to go see comedy.
Yeah,
too.
It was
that's
really cool. And you know, because the British, we all like British humor and stuff in our family a lot. Like Monty Python and like Graham Norton show and stuff like that. And we were just like
Fawlty Towers. You're a Fawlty Towers guy.
Yeah,
that show. I've watched every episode of that show like 15, 20 times.
Yeah.
And it's the best sitcom ever made.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Mitchell and Webb?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Peep Show is...
Yeah.
That might actually be my favorite sitcom. I've been trying to... we should do an American Peep Show. That should exist.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
100%. Extras could also get made over here.
Yeah.
To... Yeah, so we went over there to the Fringe Festival, and there was two comedians I saw. The first one, I don't remember his name for good reason. I was like, this guy fucking blows. I could do that for sure. And I was 11.
Oh, damn.
I was like, yeah.
11-year-old, you're like, yeah, I can top this.
I could top that.
And I got some riffs about kindergarten.
And then I saw Ross Noble, who's a British comic. Okay. And he did like a huge theater in Edinburgh, like one of the headlining shows for a weekend. Yeah. And I was fucking crying. Like, he was... so funny. I like still remember some of the jokes that he was doing.
Damn.
Like this whole bit about how like men were waxing their balls now, and how he would do it by putting the wax on a motorcycle and that naked and then just revving it and sending it off. And like that's how he would wax his balls. I was like, I don't even really know what he was even talking about.
Yeah.
But it, like I was like waxing balls. I'm 11. I don't even know what.
Yeah, you're blowing your brain.
I don't have hair on my balls at all. Like, yeah. I didn't. But just the delivery and like everything he was doing.
When a joke
is
really good, you don't even have to speak the language, I feel like.
Oh, it was so good. And so it was like this mixture of like, all right, that was straight up, how do you do that? That was incredible. And that seemed like magic. To the other one where it was like, that seemed like anyone could do it. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to fucking figure that out. And then I thought about it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Denver did it for, I was like always telling people, I was like, I'm going to do stand-up comedy.
That's exactly what I did, because at some point in my brain, at like 12, 14, I'm like, I'll probably just do that.
Yeah.
That seems pretty cool. I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll try that at some
point.
You
get close to reality and you're like, this seems pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, next year. I'm going to do it next year.
Yeah. I was just a teenager being like, because I remember like I broke my collarbone longboarding and I was in the hospital, and they're like, well, what do you want to do like when you get older? And I said comedian.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I told it to like another person. Yeah. They looked at me, they're like, well, that's kind of stupid.
I remember,
they're like, maybe you got a concussion.
I remember admitting it for the first time and like my friends being like, you know,
it's like coming out.
I mean, I don't want to compare it to that. That might be
that's a little bold.
Something as three but, straight men we might not be able to quite grasp.
It's as close as we've gotten, I think.
It's definitely you're exposing yourself a little bit. You're being like, hey, I think I'm funnier than you guys.
you say it to your friends.
You're
funnier to the point I could turn this into money.
Yeah.
I could say, you know how you're going to go to a job? I'm going to do that, but I'm fun.
Yeah. You tell your friends at home, you're like, hey, guys, I think I'm the funniest person in our group.
Not the group, probably the town. Yeah. Probably out of anyone you know.
Yeah.
And that makes me also like the coolest one too. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm.
Although that's not even true. I feel like every comic I know someone that they grew up with, they're like, yeah, if they did this, they would be the best person.
But they're just too wild.
Yeah.
I feel like I know so many funny people, but they're just,
my best friend is so funny, but he's just invested, that's his job now.
He's so funny, but he's just so responsible.
He's just really smart. He's like really smart. He's one of those he was one of the first GameStop guys.
One of those.
Dude, yeah. He's
God bless him.
Yeah. He's making a lot of money still from that. From all the games.
You say that word, I almost
cry.
You
can't tell me that.
Yeah, because someone told me about that in December.
Yeah.
And they put $20,000 in. I said, I haven't seen a GameStop in years. You're an idiot. And now, Chris, every single day. Yeah. I think about it.
What does he? What does your friend do?
It was Cole, who I ran this other podcast for a while with, Cole Nolan, and he was a comedian. He was a programmer, so he had a bunch of money.
Yeah.
So it's also for him, 20 grand's different than like if I put 3,000. I'd be like, yeah, this is all the money I have, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and I need this to work.
And he's like has a house now or some shit.
Oh, he made $300,000.
Yeah, it's so fucked. I know.
Which is,
I think he told me this. I think around the same time he was like, hey, so this thing is going on. Like, do you have any money you want to throw into that? And I was like, same thing. I was like, I went to a GameStop and tried to sell a video game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, it's $4. I was like, this place is going under.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, when you're so broke, you have like no real connection to any sort of thing.
Yeah.
You're just sort of like, I don't know. I don't see them.
I know.
Yeah.
People's gauge of money is so much different. Like some of my people with like real jobs and stuff, they're like, yeah, it was like $1,000-something. I'm like, that would ruin me.
Yeah.
I can't make
as soon as a comma is involved, I gotta make some calls.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't spend more than $60 any given
moment. I feel you right now. We're in my day job just was like, we got so much money from our investors, like shared the story, and I wanted to share it with a photo of my bank account in the negative. I wanted it to be like, all right, well then why am I,
my company's doing really well and not paying me.
Yeah.
At all.
Just chilling.
And their name is the company, and to fire Kenyon.
Yeah. Come at me. It's all right. We know it's coming. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Chris, pre-pod, you mentioned you had a funny story you wanted to share with us on the pod.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so, all right. Yeah, I'll just get into it.
I mean, yeah. We got the base information. He was a dentist. He was pretty cool. He brought you to Scotland.
Yeah. He's So, basically, my dad, my mom, our whole like childhood was like pretty strict about pot and drinking and
all
that. Like, do not, we are abstaining from that until you are like in college and you've got, it was all like, you, once you get into college, you can kind of whatever.
But that was laid out.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was,
that's
like,
nice,
we are,
communication.
Yeah. So, I was immediately like, no way.
Yeah. Isn't that weird when you're like, you have to wait till you're 18? And I'm like, but that's like forever for me.
Yeah, that's
I'm supposed to not get fucked up for 4 years.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Give me that weed right now. I smoked weed pretty early. Immediately. It was just like, fuck that. I'm smoking pot.
It's pretty good.
And I my first time getting caught, my parents were mad and my dad was like mad, very mad. But I was kind of like, what the fuck? Like, seems way too mad right now. It was,
did you get caught by them or the police?
Pretty much red-handed by them. They went off to go like ski for the weekend.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm not feeling so good. I'm just gonna stay behind.
Classic move. And classic teenage move.
Yeah, so they went and I think my dad immediately was like that fucking, like he was like, shit stank. He was like, you're not sick. Like, you just, this has been a plan of yours. And it was, then a couple friends came over and we smoked a big old bong on the floor. And my dad,
that's pretty dumb.
I think I didn't even notice, but I think they took both cars. And so my dad was like, all right, you guys go skiing. I'm going to pretend to leave. And he turned around and came back.
Oh,
like five hours later. I think he went up and skied for the morning and then like drove back.
Uh-huh.
Cause he was just like, something's not right. So he caught me red handed. And I was grounded immediately. And then he went off to work that like Monday or something. I think I had like a Monday off. Anyway, I don't really know why he was at work, but I was at home. So I was like, okay, I'm going to clean his cars.
Okay.
He has his car, and then he has this like he still has this car from high school.
Okay.
Which is like a 1969 Oldsmobile.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and he bikes to work every day, so he like left all that. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna like try to get my grounding less by doing all these chores.
Yeah.
So I push the Oldsmobile out to clean it, and I do the outside, and then I go to do the inside, and I notice there's like a cereal box underneath the driver's seat. And I take out the cereal box and I pull out what's in there, and there's a full ounce of pot underneath my dad's driver's seat.
Oh,
so I was immediately like, fucking busted. Like, I was like, you fucking just caught me. I just caught you, you idiot.
You, motherfucker.
And I had never seen that amount of weed in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, I was normal. I was used to like paying some douchebag like $20 for like half a gram.
Right,
and him
Here's
an eighth. You know, like, I was like, never seen, it was so, an ounce is a good amount of weed.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah,
big,
yeah.
Especially when you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. It
was full Ziploc bag. And so my play was, I just took it.
Ooh.
I just was like,
because it's like, ballsy. What are you gonna do?
I just took it, and I remember he got home, and I was like, hey, I cleaned your cars for you. And I remember him being like, Just like, whoa.
No.
He's like, oh, great. Yeah. Like, thank you. Yeah. And he didn't say anything. And I was kind of like, yeah, that's right. Like,
gotcha, motherfucker.
You don't say anything.
This and is then, fucking House of Cards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were both playing the Game of Thrones with each other. Yeah. It was like, the dagger is at your throat?
Yeah. Oh,
father. The kingdom is mine. But so then what happened was, we kind of had like this stalemate for a couple nights, and my mom had like a book group, so she went off to book group, and my dad came up to my room and was like, go grab my pot.
And he just admitted, he's like, I know what you did.
What the fucking bullshit? Well,
He just was like, go grab my pot and come downstairs. And I go downstairs, and he's on the living room table. He's got a pipe laid out and a lighter, and he's got and my brother was there too. He's got three glasses of scotch poured out. I take the pot and I put it there, and he's like, so you're not grounded anymore, basically. He's like, all right, fair enough. And then we smoked, all three of us smoked a bowl together. And it was kind of like, if we're going with the Game of Thrones thing, we formed like an alliance that night. Like against my mom. He was like, all right, there's a drawer in my studio. Like he had a studio on the other side of our yard. And he's like, there's a drawer in my studio where you can just open it and there's going to be weed in there. You can take whatever you want from there. Don't buy weed. He's like, don't want you guys buying weed from people. He was like, I'll buy weed for you. He's like, you can smoke pot. Don't be an idiot. He's like, this is the thing he says. He's like, give weed a good name. Like, he's like, if you're going to smoke weed, like, be productive. And like, that's what he does. He always like smokes pot and then like takes himself on these death marches, like mountain bike for 18 miles or something.
When you were talking about all those out crazy outdoor activities, I was like, you gotta be smoking, doing something
the
you
whole time. And so we just started smoking pot together like that
that's
time.
Insane. I can't even imagine.
I'm so jealous.
So he's the man. And now we've, you know, it's been normalized. And it was kind of, that was way before weed was legal in Colorado. So it was legalized, I think, like seven years later. And so many like dads and moms like came out as stoners when that all got legalized. And so just to think about that, like the stories he's telling me, like the kids were hiding from the dads, who were hiding from the moms, who were hiding from everybody, and everyone was smoking pot, and no one wanted to admit
it's a web of lies.
It was Boulder was built on a web of stoned lies. We formed an alliance
that day.
That is beautiful. That's just a heartwarming tale. The power of, sometimes drugs break up families, sometimes they bring them together.
And I guess mushrooms are legal in Colorado now. So
that's the next one.
He and I have tripped together a couple times.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
The next level of, do you just, I can't even imagine.
We usually go into the woods. We go backpacking at least once a year for his birthday. Like this year we went and we ate some mushrooms and just like sat on these these little chairs that you bring, like a little kind of backpacking chair. They're not quite camping chairs. We just sat there and like looked over this valley for like 6 hours, and like it started raining, and he and I were just like, I'm not going in. Just like sat in the rain, and then like the sun came out and this like huge rainbow hit, and we were just like, holy shit, these are great mushrooms.
I'm surprised you guys aren't just one person now.
Yeah, well,
you do that with your dad. It's like you form together.
And I've done it with like my brother's been there a couple times, but he's got a real job, so he can't like
Chris has the open avails for dropping mushrooms.
Just my dad's like, I'm like, just send me your avails. We'll get him to line up, Dad. Yeah, you got to book me here.
Yeah.
Dad, I would love to do mushrooms with you on this date.
Here are my avails.
Yeah.
No pressure. Take care.
No pressure.
I will be following up in a week asking what I ever did to you.
That's amazing, heartwarming. That might be the most heartwarming tale I've heard on this pod.
We've had a lot of, I mean, especially, usually it goes the other way. I mean, I have a quick one and then we can get out of here. I have a quick one about sort of a similar thing. I got caught red-handed because I had a whole operation when I lived with my parents when I was 20 years old. I just started comedy. And so every night I wanted to smoke weed and I'd have to crawl out my window and go around the house, get in my car. I'd smoke in my car and then come back and climb back in the window. Yeah. And one time as I was climbing back in the window, so I had to hoist myself and go in backwards. So I was like on the sill, and then I kind of turned, and I saw my mom was just kind of sitting on my bed.
Oh no!
And she was like, "What you doing?" And I, you know how at first you think like maybe there's a possibility. At least me, I always think the first shot, I got to give it a shot. And yeah. I was like, I thought I saw Chloe, who was our cat. I thought I saw her outside.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I just panicked, and I was like, I need to go grab her. And she was like, Nick, I can smell you. You smell like drugs.
Dope. Did she say dope?
She was close.
Yeah.
But I was really high, so I was like, Mom, yeah, I did smoke weed, but, you know, it helps me sleep, and it helps me, you know, think about jokes. Yeah. And then she just started crying. Once I said think about jokes, she just starts crying, and she's like, Nick, I want you to be thinking about your future. And I gave my mom a big, long hug, and I said, Mom, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, okay, I'll go to bed. I guess I lost this battle. And I just kind of was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then from then on, it's been some sort of like weird, like North Korea, South Korea sort of understanding.
Just don't cross the Maginot line or yeah. whatever.
Yeah. As long as I don't smoke it literally in front of them, yeah. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
But they know when I come visit that I still crawl out the window, but they know I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That's a
they hear the window go up.
Yeah.
No good. I think that'd be a great intro to your special, Nick. Just been like, think about jokes, your mom crying. I want you to think about your future. Yeah. Give it up for Nick Cartwright, yeah. everybody. He goes on stage.
My mom caught me that when they caught me, they caught me with a bong I had made.
Oh, that never looks good.
So my parents were like, oh shit. Like yeah. he's like full on like radicalized stoner here.
Yeah, yeah.
They've caught me with an IUD.
Well, yeah, smoking out of a Gatorade bottle, it does look like a bomb, it like looks, you could throw at somebody.
Yeah, this was a beaker that I had stolen from a gym teacher's office at Boulder High.
Oh, there was like blueprints. There was a whole plan.
Oh, I stole it and I brought it to my friend Steven, and my friend Steven dad was a contractor, and
oh, he had the glass drill
immediately
bit.
It was like,
yeah,
I'm like, it was a legit, we went and bought like a slide from up on
up
on the hill where the college students were. No one ID'd at this one head shop.
That's someone looking out for everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a saint right there.
All right, Chris, well, thank you so much for coming on, man. That was a blast.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to plug anything before we go?
No.
We talked about your podcast.
My podcast.
You have a great Instagram.
Oh, TikTok. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have an Instagram or a TikTok. I still hate that I have a TikTok. But, yeah, I have an Instagram and TikTok called God and Angel, so check that out.
Oh yeah, God and Angel series. Is fucking
hilarious
awesome
stuff.
Yeah,
check it out.
It's pretty dumb stuff. Check it out.
And do you own a wood company, or are you just the face of this?
Oh
wood
yeah,
company?
I'm a spokesman for a wood company called Hotbox Hardwood.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
Hell yeah.
Well, thanks again, Chris. Man, this was a lot of fun.
Thank you guys.
Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.